Okay, open session for 2574.
There's clearly some miscommunication issues between the client and the veterinarian, or problems in conception of what was being done. For example, the client's perception of it being the tumor being removed versus a biopsy. So that the client perceived it was going to be removed, and the veterinarian stated that it was going to be simply a biopsy. So there was a misconception in that case. I mean, it's a rotten, stinking tumor. It probably was more advanced than we were able to know. I didn't see it, but it's a terrible cancer, so the outcome isn't a big surprise. Could it have been biopsied sooner? Maybe, but whatever. Sawyer, I think I'm concerned about the urgency of the case going to surgery and the time that went by. I'm unclear as to the nature of what occurred, whether or not he had an intestinal accident where bowels herniated through an opening in the mesentery, and that was the start of it. I can't say, but the longer they go, the less likelihood they're going to be viable.
I think that with Getty, there were some pictures of the mass, and there was quite large, and definitely visible to see. It was not resectable. I think the client obviously had a completely different impression than what the doctor was trying to do, and I think that was inevitable, that was going to be problematic just based on the sheer size, and that it did kind of go right up into the sphincter area. So I didn't see any medical record violations or anything like that on that. However, with Sawyer, I did find the vet radar sheets. I don't see if this pet was hospitalized. Sawyer's hospitalized for 3 days total, once for the first surgery, twice for the second. Doctor says he was overnight care. I don't see a flow sheet in there at all. Maybe I'm just not finding it. I also went through x-rays again after Mr. Bennett showed me where to find them, and there's several of them that aren't labeled appropriately. So for me, I'm just seeing records violations. I think that the demise of Sawyer was super sad. I wasn't in the surgery, so I don't know if perhaps a small rent had accidentally been made in the mesentery, but I think that weird things happen, adhesions happen, and bad stuff happens, and I think that was just an unfortunate situation. I feel like if it was related to the first surgery, it probably would have been a lot sooner in the course of his recovery from the swelling removal. But those are kind of my thoughts.
Mr. Bennett.
Y'all got it.
I have nothing to say.
You have nothing to say.
You guys can fistula or hurt.
I think the radiographs from November 20th on Sawyer are suspicious that the abdomen's quite hazy to me, that maybe there was fluid there that day, and you just have to stick the probe on it to see if there's, if there's fluid, or just where, like in the old days, you stick a needle in it and see if there's fluid, because that would be an indication that you absolutely have an acute abdomen. But, that went on a long time, and if you had strangulated bowels on day one, they're dead by day two.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if you share that concern or not.
If there's an issue with the enterotomy site, do you think the timing is appropriate for the onset of complications and the slow development?
I feel like if the pet was going to have complications from the exact enterotomy, that it would have been in closer proximity.
Yeah, I guess I don't have anything that makes me think that the two events are dependent on each other. They're independent. And Sawyer.
Okay.
I'm not a surgeon.
We go in, we're messing with stuff. So stuff gets moved, stuff gets repositioned. Yeah. It's literally they're like shove everything back in and jiggle it up, and then it's it. So
dogs get foreign body obstructions multiple times.
Yeah.
So, but the question is, you know, sounds like the dog was really ill when he came in that day. You know.
What about the second foreign body that impacts the development?
Well, that's what we're talking about. So if it comes in on November 20th.
Right.
The owner describes he's in excruciating pain.
Yeah.
He doesn't go to surgery until at least 24 hours later.
It's the following evening.
The following
evening. But what I'm saying is with the second foreign body, whether it was the fringe, the thread, or whatever, caused the torsion or...
Exactly what caused it doesn't matter. The question is, should that patient have gone to surgery?
Right. Should they have recognized it in the x-rays and shown more of a sense of urgency getting that dog?
It's the whole picture. It's the... You can't put it on any one thing. So
records.
My biggest concern is the records. I think that, you know, without the first surgery, the second may not have happened, but I don't think you can draw a direct line from surgery one to surgery two, for sure.
Okay.
I also agree with Dr. Rubin that there definitely seems to be a less quality of some of those records or x-rays, which could have suggested some fluid in there, although not all doctors, are comfortable throwing a probe on an abdomen and having it be diagnostic for them. So if there wasn't somebody there comfortable doing an abdominal ultrasound or putting a probe on, that might not have been something to be done. However, to fight the other side of the coin, you know, if the pet was in that level of dire pain and what they were doing wasn't working, it should have been referred, it should have been hospitalized, it should have been maintained on pain medicine, it should have had more.
Can we advance this?
And we don't have any copies of the vet rad or radar. Were they submitted?
There are ones in here, but they're not like flow sheets. I can see the surgery. There's a vet radar surgery time period, which does correlate with the times of surgery, but not this
long time,
3 days of full care that the pet received in addition.
So that doesn't answer your questions as far as with the monitoring.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Is there additional things to submit out of the... I'm not familiar with vet radar.
I've never used it before, but it seems pretty straightforward and flow. It has timestamps on a flow chart every 5 minutes. But again, the times that are marked off on here are just surgical times. They're not daycare or being in the hospital.
Right. It just says, see vet radar for drugs and monitoring.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not sure where that. So there is a violation in the medical record.
I believe there's missing pieces from the medical record. Yes.
Okay.
Specifically related to the daytime and overnight care of hospitalization and being on IV fluid.
Okay. What is the number on that? Is that under
311-502 is your records?
Or 311-502.
Get number L. Does four records start?
Where is it? What number? I'm sorry.
Page 19 in the yellow book.
Okay. 19. Yeah.
Now, where it falls under that. Page 20 has the specific
under L.
For x-rays.
Okay.
20 is where you go into M. M takes care of x-rays.
Okay.
Then it goes into radiographs.
Because I found radiographs that were not labeled. Everybody agree? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a motion for a violation under R311-502 under L for medical records and M for labeling of radiographs.
Yeah, which one under L?
So with L, you're talking about the monitoring during hospitalization. We're not going to have any specifics with respect to that. If you feel that the pet should have been evaluated, every day based on this condition. You know, you might want to mark the results of an exam, maybe L4, but we don't have anything that talks about hospitalization specifically and the need and the requirements for monitoring.
But IV fluids are a medication and that could fit under L7. Correct?
Yes. L7 is the name of each medication administered,
sure.
So we need to know the amount, the frequency, the route.
Okay,
so
IV.
If that was not documented, then yes, you could use that.
Okay.
And also any other medications you feel were administered to the dog during those times.
Okay, so we have that motion before us. Do we have a seconder?
I second.
So,
it
would be ARS 3222 number 21 as it relates to medical record keeping, as it relates to ARC 11502L7. There was no mention of type of fluids or the amount, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's what you said.
Rate, volume.
Okay, so all of
seven
for the IV fluids.
And then M is for the x-rays.
Yeah. There's radio.
So they weren't labeled at all?
There were several that weren't labeled at all.
Okay.
And I guess I'm not sure, Tracy, if we could put forward to the board something that relates to a concern about the management of these surgical patients, of these patients, particularly Sawyer.
I will definitely write in the committee discussion area that you do have concerns about the overall management.
Yeah. Failure to appreciate the seriousness of this situation, the urgency of the medical condition.
Are you speaking as specifically Sawyer?
Correct. Does everybody agree?
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're saying it doesn't rise to the level of a violation, though?
Come on, Doc. Tell me what you think. Tell us what you think.
So, if you were to walk in off the street and look at that x-ray, because that's what you're saying they should have picked up sooner, correct?
The overall presentation.
It's the overall, all right, so three of you, if I walk in with a dog that looks exactly like that, are you going to say, yeah, let's give it 24 hours?
No.
If I have one who was in pain, was continuing in pain and didn't show improvement on what I did, and I felt like there was something in the abdomen that was strong
right.
enough that I would take the IV catheter in to keep it.
But
in the next day, yeah, I would refer it. I would want to send it somewhere.
So what I'm hearing is reasonable minds sitting here say waiting was not an appropriate course of action.
Correct.
Okay. What level does that arise to? Going by.
Well, you could also say, you know, was referral offered in a timely manner?
Yeah. But if you don't recognize the severity of the situation, then you're not referring. The root cause is your failure to recognize the situation as severe.
Correct.
So it becomes a matter of not knowing that you need to refer it because you don't recognize the problem.
So then you're dealing with either negligence, incompetence.
There you go. Or
yep.
malpractice. Or
right.
So negligence, failure to exercise reasonable care, malpractice. Contrary to the accepted practices. And then the second part of that I would ask you is, okay, if we're going down that path, then what did that contribute to? Because if we get into saying the dog did not survive because of that, then we're up with gross negligence because the dog died. So where do you want it to go? We've got a baseline. We've already said reasonable minds agree that they should have picked up on this. That shouldn't have slipped by. Okay, good. So that's a starting point. So look at our definitions. we've got gross incompetence. I don't know that anybody's going to fall there. Professional misconduct or unreasonable lack of professional skill. Okay, we have gross negligence, treatment of a patient or practice veterinary medicine resulting in injury, unnecessary suffering, or death that was a result of carelessness, negligence, or disregard of established principles and practices. We've got malpractice, treatment in a manner contrary to the accepted practices. You've got medical incompetence, and you've got likely to endanger the health of a patient, and then you've got negligence. How serious do you think it is? Where does it fall?
Patient died.
Patient died. Patient died because of the result of this. Then I think you have a case of gross negligence.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Or as far as, you know, trying to.
Yeah, I mean, looking at where it fits with what our statutes say.
I think that's the closest.
That's the closest. So it would be like we did on one of the earlier.
32, 22, 32, number 11.
Thank you. For gross negligence.
You think, Dr.
And so would this be for delaying surgery on November 20th? Or not recognizing the severity of the condition on the 20th?
Not recognizing the severity of the situation on 20 November.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I do think that you're right, Dr. Levin, that if it had been identified sooner, that there may have been a different outcome.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Okay. Motion is before us. Do we have a seconder?
As to all three?
To the, well, we did, we voted on the record.
We did.
Thing. Did we?
No, we're
not voted.
Okay, let's vote on the motion for the record infraction. Okay. Do you need to read that back to us one more time?
I can. It's ARS 3222, number 21, as it relates to R311-502L7 for not documenting in the medical record IV fluids that were administered to the dog, and M for failure to label some of the radiographs provided.
Okay, so we had a seconder, right? So
I'll second.
Okay.
All
in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And then the second motion is for a violation of 32, 22, 32 under number 11, under gross negligence, failure to recognize the seriousness of the situation.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
That it. A report of this committee's findings and conclusions will be sent to the board. That report is advisory in nature. The case will be at the agenda of the future board meeting. The board meets the third Wednesday of the month. You'll be notified by mails to when the case will appear before the board as a new investigative inquiry. Call to the public.
Thanks, Dr. Bird. Let me disconnect the call.
Interesting to listen to you guys go.
How do I log myself?